Welcome to Add to Party, a new show masquerading as a friendship simulator. I'm your host, James Hartwell, joined by...
This is Charles, and I'm joined by...
Andy K. And I want you to hear this, okay? I'm opening my beer on my turn. Does it turn up? There we go. So, I wasn't rude this time, okay? Also, I don't know what just shook onto my desk. It was either like dandruff or pizza crumbs. I have no idea.
Andy, but I can't. For the life of me, I can't understand how you're still single.
I mean, doesn't it just happen sometimes, though?
Pizza crumbs just falling off you, you know?
Yeah. You know, and I just ate, I feel like I just ate one too many pieces of pizza, you know? Does it ever happen where it's just one too many? You eat the right amount and then you eat one more. And then I'm drinking beer. So I've got a lot in me. I'm carrying a lot around with me right now. So I just want you to keep that in mind as I process this information we're about to hear.
You have, I would think you have less because it's falling off your body right now.
I think it was pizza crumbs. It was a bit too large to be dandruff. But I've been noticing dandruff recently, too, I'm too lazy to put in oil.
Here's the important question. Did you have pizza for dinner?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Oh, no. This was...
Ooh. I was worried.
Yeah, no. I just ate. And I've been finding more and more stuff in my beard. So I was just kind of curious.
How long is your beard now?
That's not the worst. It's down. Pull it down. It's down to the nips. So I got a nips beard.
Andy, that is a mighty beard.
Well, if I comb it out completely, I don't take care of this thing, so it is a tangled mess. But if I'm feeling good, it's down to the nips.
Yeah, if I had to describe it, it's as if have you ever seen a bird's nest?
Okay.
Yeah, a robin.
I care.
Probably... Well, no, maybe not. A hummingbird could probably comfortably lay their eggs
and find a home. And that's fine. It has a welcome home. When you're wearing a mask outside, you know, your beard doesn't matter.
You're like Radagast from the Hobbit movies.
I don't know who that is.
I mean, it's the Hobbit movies. Who cares?
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
Who cares about Lord of the Rings classic?
Well, hold on. No one's saying Lord of the Rings. We're talking about the Hobbit movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're bad.
I don't know what you're talking about, James. There were six Lord of the Rings movies.
I listen, did I buy the recent release in 4K? Yes, I did. So that makes me the best fan.
I'd say Lord of the Rings trilogy... It's probably worth buying the set for whatever new media comes out every time.
Oh yeah, it's like a good Christmas movie. Weird enough as that sounds,
I think ABC Family really won their agenda, which is push certain movies or maybe not ABC Family. Who is it?
TNT,
TNT or TBS or whatever really got their agenda of just. We have the rights for these movies to broadcast. We'll just play them at whatever season we need them to fill time for. And that's all they did. Because I agree. Lord of the Rings doesn't feel weird to watch during Christmas.
Well, the original one came out during Christmas. I remember we went to see it probably like the day after Christmas or something. And my father complaining because we sat in the very front row, our necks craned at like 90 degrees. Because the theater was packed.
Oh, yeah. That's not a real seat.
Yeah, I can confirm. Front row seats are the worst to a movie theater.
It's made up. It's fake.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's not fake.
Ooh, I want to know. Tell me about it.
I'm transitioning, damn it. away from this playful banter into the news.
Well, I want to hear it.
PlayStation has said, we give up. Discord is the best way to have chat, voice chat. So if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I want to say like 3 or 4 weeks ago, there were a lot of rumors about Microsoft buying voice communication platform Discord, which is primarily on PC and mobile. And and has now they now have a minority share in Discord and have said they will be bringing Discord functionality, as in voice chat, parties, channels, things like that, into PS4 and PS5 by early next year, so early 2022.
Oh, and look who wrote this.
Yeah.
Oh, Republican congressman Jim Ryan. You know, destroyer of dreams, crushing of legacy.
Well, to be fair, he didn't destroy any dreams.
Part of the machine, the capitalist machine.
He didn't destroy any dreams this time. He has brought the dream. We all thought this was going to be, this is the dream, right? Discord on the console.
That's true.
Absolutely. This was a really nice news to hear. Go ahead, Andy.
A little bit too pro-consumer, wouldn't you say? I don't know. I don't know what their agenda is here.
I mean, this is a really good way to keep people in the PlayStation.
Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair to keep them inside. Lock the doors. Don't let them leave.
Yeah, because like again, right? Like parties is nice, but you know what handles things better? Discord already handles a lot of these like. Need to be social in voice channels or in chat channels or, you know, in their own set environment.
Yeah.
Like that whole thing with like, you know, PlayStation communities that they tried doing.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's a Discord server already. Like,
sure.
It fits so neatly into, you know, what PlayStation was trying to do that is just like, here you go. It makes sense.
If I have to put a guess upon it, you're going to end up, it's not going to be like where, maybe this is pessimistic of me, but it's not going to be where we can just pull in any Discord channel into PS5, but it's that you'll be able to generate PS5 Discord channels, which can then be shared with PC or the other way around. But there will be like PS5 or PlayStation in general will kind of have a walled garden where we have PS5 exclusive Discord channels. And, you know, you won't get like PC only ones in there because, as we discussed, Discord does have a seedy underbelly of adult entertainment, which probably would not fly.
I mean, that's fair.
Although, I mean, to be fair, what is it like I think the Xbox and the PS4 are like right behind mobile in terms of the most used browser to look at Pornhub. So
still.
I haven't looked. I don't know.
Was it PS4 or PS3?
It was PS4.
It was PS4. That's a hard use browser. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, and people use it.
But God bless them for getting that video to work. That's wonderful.
But yeah, so I don't know. It just seems very interesting. Discord went all the way from being bought by Microsoft to being invested by Sony. So it's very weird.
Yeah, a little bit of whiplash, but you know. We love to see it. I think it's pretty cool. I've played a couple games where I'm on my PS4 at the time, I guess. And then I would have to like use my phone and plug in my headphones. And it was a lot of work. And then you don't have the audio of the game. And it's just really inconvenient. So I'm surprised they're trying to bring platforms together. I think it's great. But to your point, keep them inside. You know, trick them just enough.
Well, like in another way, too. Right. On the flip side, Discord probably made the smarter decision here to not sell themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Because now they could do this for every console.
How many billions was it? Was it Star Wars billions? More than Star Wars billions.
Reported offer.
How does Discord make money?
It doesn't.
Right, and you're worth more than Star Wars.
So Andy, again, it's whatever investors think it's worth.
I hate it.
And
we have all this money.
I don't like how companies and the economy works.
I don't.
I mean, that's fair, but also how it works.
Andy,
and that's how they have to work. Even if you disagreed and you wanted to be in it, that is how it works.
Why does Republican Congressman Jim Ryan say no to Kojima, right? He says no to other things I forgot, but freaking says yes to Discord. I don't understand. Who is he appealing to? I don't know.
Andy, as of the last, at least the most current valuation that I can find, which was December of last year, Discord was valued at $7 billion. So you would have to assume
Star Wars money.
Microsoft probably would have had to offer something in the neighborhood of like $10 billion if they wanted to buy
this. This is insane. Oh my God. But okay. we can move on.
Well, I mean, if we also, you know, there was another article about Sony's investment strategy that came out this week, which was also that, you know, I think we talked about Sony's strategy of going screw indies and, you know,
reportedly.
Yeah, I remember when we had that discussion, and then later, Charles, you talked in Slack about me. I was like, wait a minute, Kaz is in charge of indie reach out. Like, that's his whole sector. And it's like, yeah, doesn't mean they're like super committed to it just because.
Listen, Shuhei Yoshida, let's say, was the former president. If he goes and decides to do something else fun, that's something we're doing. Like. He's not gonna fucking fuck around.
Oh, is it Shuhei? I thought it was
also
Kaz.
Kaz has gone a while.
Think Kaz was the previous president, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Shuhei was our friend who let us lend our friends our games.
That's right. Okay, I was getting Shuhei and Kaz confused then.
Yeah, but the other thing too, in terms of that whole old argument, was just the fuck do you call PlayStation VR?
Money
which
sink.
They still put money into.
Hey, PSVR gave us Tetris Effect, and that for some reason was a spiritual and emotional experience for me.
I don't know if they did give us Tetris Effect so much as if they. Well, I mean, they bought it. I don't know if they produced it though.
I have no idea.
But anyway, so during Sony's quarterly conference call for investors and analysts. They talked about how they're continuing to double down on investment in first-party studios and continue to partner with external developers. So basically, you know, we're going to work with who we work with, and we're not really going to garner new talent, is more or less what it amounts to.
Thanks, Jim.
I don't think there's anything too other interesting in there. But, I mean, other news just kind of came out, like PlayStation 5. Just breaking all sorts of records in terms of how fast it's selling. Sony is doing impressively well. And this Discord, you know, I think it was a few weeks ago we were talking about when is PlayStation going to get its win, right? That Discord news is a big win for Sony.
That's pretty
think.
Cool. That is pretty cool.
Well, can we talk? Let's talk about something that might not have a big win.
I can't wait.
But it's a big win for us. Epic and Apple are fighting. And we're just airing out the dirty laundry of everyone in the games industry.
This is bad.
I mean, it's fun.
It's not bad for us.
Let me rephrase that qualifier or replace it. I'm amazed at how easily information is being leaked out, I should say. It's just so sloppy. And then we're getting all these juicy details.
It's not necessarily being leaked. I mean...
Isn't it posted to a thing that I thought it was posted to a like share folder that people have been able to comb and pull information.
So let me summarize this, right? So Epic and Apple are currently in a lawsuit. Basically, Epic's like, screw you. We don't want to have to go through the App Store to sell like V-Bucks and stuff on Fortnite. And
well, Apple got a 20% cut.
30, I think.
30. Yeah, it's pretty aggressive.
Yeah. And so basically there's this kind of lawsuit about that Apple is, you know, monetizing the platform and it's antitrust, all sorts of fun things. But anyway,
also just a really catty thing that Epic did in the iPhone app. I believe it said if you buy V-Bucks through iPhone, you get 100 for $10. If you use your browser to buy it from Epic, you get like 20% more.
Oh, yeah.
So they literally directed you to get them a different way on the same platform. It was wild.
I mean, they also actively released its own trailer of propaganda saying it's bad, that Apple is doing bad.
It was fantastic.
They are actively just completely trying to get this over
and out. So, yeah. And I mean, it's two companies with a lot of money. Neither of whom might give a shit whether they win or not. But I think what's interesting is basically, you know, as a part of court proceedings, you know, you can subpoena people for information. And Epic has subpoenaed a lot of information, at least from other partners, to build up this case on, you know, revenue sharing and things like that. And generally speaking, that is not secretive. Like in other industries, like movie industries, that's just like, yeah, you know, Marvel just came out, you know, whatever, like six or Marvel the other day, Marvel just came out with like, this is our next movie slate for the next 3 years, basically saying these are all the movies we're going to be making. But you have game studios that have been working on something for 4 years. We have no idea what they've been working on. So yeah, it's very apples to oranges. And I think this is probably one of the biggest games lawsuits that's happened, at least in recent memory.
Any that I can remember.
And so basically their court proceedings are public record. Subpoena documents are being stored in a public folder where people are able to submit requests to review them. And the problem is that someone has to sift through that information to decide what is classified and what's, you know, or sealed, I believe is the legal term, or not. And a lot of them are just ending up in the public folder. And we're finding out a lot of neat things, like the fact that Epic has spent $11 million on all those free games,
which I thought was kind of cheap.
Yeah, actually,
I was surprised they spent so little to acquire all these users. James, blow up that image.
Yeah, I'm blowing it up.
For all of you kind enough to join us on our live stream, we have a chart that shows by game how much Epic handed out money. One of the top...
And not exhaustive, by the way.
Yes, not exhaustive. But one of the top receivers was Subnautica.
Yeah, that was the crazy one.
I didn't know it was that big of a game.
Yeah.
It's an underwater game. And it's raking in like...
In a lot of places.
Yeah, Subnautica was one of the biggest earners. What were some of the others? And when I say that, it was like $1 million they got to hand out that game for free for a week, was it?
I think $1.4 million, and then GTA was at $1.5 million.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the other thing you have to look at, though, Andy. 800,000 new Epic accounts were created while Subnautica was free.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, so that means almost, just a little over 250,000 people created an Epic account to get Subnautica for free. And I mean, that's, frankly speaking, what is it? They said that's $1.7 per new user, which is cheap, all things considered.
Yeah, I mean, imagine they buy a $10 game. Well, I forgot how much their cut is. I think it's like 18%. But yeah, you're making your money back if people can buy. Oh, we have representation in the chat for Subnautica. I am trying to use every fiber in my being to want to play this game. I still don't want to, and it hurts.
I can never get past like the opening 3 hours. I need just like ever so slightly more guidance to figure out what to do.
Sure. I wanted it to be Outer Wilds, which, as I understand, it is not Outer Wilds.
It is not
because I just want another Outer Wilds.
Yeah, that's a game I need to play. That's a game I like
that. We're not talking about it today, but I mean, we can. In the, this is an aside, but
the talk of the sequel.
Yeah, there's not a sequel, but a DLC got leaked on Steam, so there may be a DLC coming this summer for Outer Wilds.
I love that.
Also leaked in the court documents, Walmart is developing a cloud gaming service.
Yeah,
I thought that was a rumor and then got confirmed, right? And then you've never heard anything for a while.
I didn't know that.
Project Storm, which is, you know what? That's a better name than Stadia. The plural of Stadium.
Yeah, it's going to be a little awkward for them. I mean, because, well, okay, the reason why, I mean, I get it, that this whole, that one, it's nice that they were saying, like, look, it was working really well. But I feel like they stopped working on this project. Stadia is pretty much dead. Why is this any going to be any better? I don't care that it's Walmart doing this, because anybody with enough money can hire good people. But they never solved the problem of, you know, can we guarantee good enough internet and everything else.
Well, there's that too. But I mean, I think the Walmart one is going for the GeForce Now kind of way, where it's basically you log into your own accounts on a virtual network server, which then you can play games on there. So, you know, that kind of solves a little bit of the Stadia issue, which was I'm not paying $60 for a game on Stadia. But if it's kind of changing the marketplace of going, well, I'm not paying for a game, I'm paying for computer time, as if I was going to, like, you know, a gaming cafe or something like that. I think GeForce Now has done pretty well. You're right, though, that internet access is limited and still kind of the biggest barrier. But hey, you know, infrastructure is coming, according to some people in government. So we'll find out. Maybe we'll have Korean level internet soon.
Oh,
I know.
Well, with 5G, it can be anywhere.
That's true.
Yeah, I will say that the best thing about getting access to all the emails and everything else going on is you get to understand, like, the tone between everybody across companies.
Yep.
So I think, you know, I think there's something in here too, where the person who's one of the executives was talking about how they played it. And it's like, you know what? It was vastly superior to playing on my daughter's Surface Pro. Yeah. Yeah, it's just all that stuff. Like, you know, another thing, it's not listed here, that came out during this whole debacle was, you know, finding out about how Microsoft reviews competition's games.
Yep.
And there's this incredibly well-written review of The Last of Us Part II to be given to all the Microsoft execs to read. And it is one of the best well-written reviews and completely neutral. Honest position, you know, written to be very neutral, and it is great. You almost want to go, who wrote that? We should hire them to write game reviews because it's so well.
You couldn't pay them enough because what they're doing is competitive analysis,
and exactly,
you get paid a lot of money for that.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's why games journalism is a fucking joke. But
listen, I love those hot takes. And silly opinions. All right.
Yeah.
One other kind of interesting thing was revealed a lot of how Sony and Epic's discussion on crossplay went, how hard it was, and basically, you know, there's an email in here from Sony, kind of talking about, well, this doesn't really benefit Sony to put our games in crossplay because I think I heard discussion about this is you do have to separate Sony as a company and Sony as a PR place because, right, and you're thinking about crossplay does not benefit Sony in that it does not generate more sales as far as they are concerned, at least at the time of this writing. And then, you know, but does it benefit gamers? Hell yeah. but then Sony basically went to Epic and I guess everyone else who's doing crossplay with them. I have to assume Outriders is doing this or any other games as a service game doing crossplay, which is basically they pay Sony some protection fees. You know, it's, you know, you got to give them, if you want to enable crossplay, you got to give them a little cut of money so that they're protecting their revenue, which is brilliant from a corporate standpoint, but really kind of shitty for everyone else.
Yeah, I coming up with that system, I was definitely like pretty good. Like, if, you know, if you're in that board and you come up with that solution, you probably got a good book.
Yeah, that's the having your cake and eating it too solution, basically.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Andy.
Oh, I only meant to say that I thought it was really smart because it was a use case I hadn't considered. When I always thought about Sony keeping you on their platform, I always kind of thought I was like, well, because you would then move to a different platform and just play there. But this is considering that, hey, I have this, you know, 12-year-old playing on their PS4 every day, Fortnite, but then they've got, you know, mom's credit card on their iPhone. So they go over there and buy all their gear, but they're, you know, playing on the PlayStation. So Sony's footing the bill in whatever way it is to have them play, but the money is being collected by someone else. I never considered that. like playing on multiple platforms, but one platform taking the money. So I'm not going to lie. I don't blame them.
Well, I thought that's smart. Yeah. I was going to say the problem is right. This, you know why it's a use case we didn't think of. We grew up in the not before microtransactions.
Exactly.
Right? Now that microtransactions are very much a thing. That's exactly what that is exactly the use case it serves. Right.
I never thought of that. And honestly, I don't blame Sony one bit for this collection model. Their outright refusal of cross-platform, I don't support. But them reaching a compromise, sure, why not?
Yeah, I mean, like I said this before too about like you're like you mean their attitude about this was they don't want to do it because it doesn't benefit them their business? Color me surprised. Like, I was like, of course. And we said it before too, which is whoever is leading in the market, cross platform doesn't benefit. So like, you know, they have to do something else to make it worth it. And you're like, okay, well, there you go.
Yeah. No, it's just kind of, so this is day two of Epic versus Apple, and people have already found this much out. As well, I think we've named about four or five different stories. There's also a bunch on here I didn't put. Like, Stalker 2 is only going to be a 3-month timed exclusive to Xbox.
That's not right.
There's a bunch of other just kind of little things like that. Also, just some kind of like confirmations on who's working on what, but nothing like gigantic. So it's interesting how much more we'll find out by next week comes around, if we do find out anything more, but. Just all this dirty laundry across the industry is getting shared because Epic is trying to build this case of, yeah, here's all the reasons they should allow us to do it. And so, and then Apple is on the same plane, like, well, here's all the reasons you shouldn't. So you're just getting all this pieces of hidden information to do these conversations that were done in the shadows of corporate boardrooms, right? Getting exposed.
And I think one of the big things leaked during this is that Epic in Discovery had to share their user base per platform, and they're starting this war with Apple, but iOS was one of the least played platform.
Yeah.
So they're chasing money for, I think, a single digit percentage of their user base. It's wild. I don't know what they're trying to do here. I don't know if this is ego driven. I don't know if they're thinking they're, you know, working on behalf of the developer, right?
Well,
they
Andy,
should take 30%. They should take 18%.
Yeah. Andy, you got to realize, though, you're thinking about this in terms of percentages, but then you also have to remember what volume those percentages are representing, right? I don't have the numbers, and I'm not going to look them up, but I think there was something like, it's either 200, this is a range, and it's very unjournalistic of me, but it was either Fortnite last year made, it was either 200 billion or 40 billion. I can't remember what. Those are the two numbers that are sticking out in my head. And I understand that is a larger. 200. But still, though, even if it was 40 billion, when you're talking about 1% over 40 billion revenue, if to raise that, that's like there was a commercial a long time ago where there's a guy running around. He's running around the office. He goes, "I saved a nickel. I saved a nickel." And they go, "I'm like, what's so special about it? I saved a nickel on every transaction." And the guy looks over and goes, "We do 10 million transactions a day."
Oh,
yeah, yeah. So it was kind of that. It's that idea, right? Of just like 1% may not seem like much in the grand scheme of things, but when you talk about these ridiculous numbers that they're working with, it probably does.
That's a very good call out.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's still real money.
Yeah, and the other important thing, right, is I don't think they'd win this case, but if they do win this case, this it's going to be really. It would be very beneficial to suddenly have to say, look, Apple lost their case on how they manipulate their store on their device. That means any other place that does that can also suddenly lose and have to lower their price.
Yeah.
So, you know, any other game or any other future project can potentially be easier if they knock this out right now.
Yep.
So, yeah. Look at all this news and attention about private dollars.
Well, we've only talked about huge soulless corporations today, and let's continue that trend by talking about Activision.
And
sad news, basically, more or less every studio at Activision currently working on Call of Duty.
Yeah,
I literally feel like this is the strategy of a toddler, right? It's one thing works, so let's do it all, right? Everything. Devote all resources, even Toys for Bob. Remake.
Yeah, you should read the rest of those show notes.
Yeah. Yeah, so we can bring that in. Basically, so a rumor was given to some gamer people that more or less every studio at Activision, outside of Blizzard, right, is working on Warzone support. And, you know, Activision kind of came out and went, no. Toys for Bob remains the lead developer on Crash 4. Yeah. The already released game.
Yeah. Hey, we're adding the Noid.
That's right. They are adding the Noid.
Yeah.
If you're unaware, Domino's is bringing back the Noid, a red bug creature who ruins pizzas.
Yeah,
which so, they forgot they needed that adorable mascot.
That's congrats, right. Toys for Bob.
Yeah, so it's kind of. I mean, Andy, you're saying this is like a toddler strategy. I don't necessarily disagree, but this is also what Activision does. You know, remember it was like Tony Hawk's big, release a million Tony Hawks.
Yeah.
Guitar Hero's big.
Oh my god, Guitar Hero. That's
Guitar
right.
Hero's big, release a lot of Guitar Heroes. So it's kind of, yeah, they always just like, hey, what's the popular thing? All right, let's hammer this real hard.
Yeah. Well, really, let's destroy it. I mean, you know, Rock Band and Guitar Hero, it's just, all of them became tired. We all stopped caring. Granted, it seems like Call of Duty has some legs, even with them releasing something every year. I don't know who plays them anymore.
I play them occasionally.
Do kids play it anymore?
Yeah, everyone. I think, generally speaking, it's kind of everyone's. It's a relaxing FPS if you want to be called racial epithets by 12-year-olds. But
that's what.
Warzone feels like kind of. I think a lot of PUBG people and people who don't enjoy Fortnite but enjoy Battle Royales kind of all gravitated to Warzone because Warzone's a bit more arcadey than PUBG was, but it's not as arcadey as, say, Fortnite is. So it strides that balance that I think the industry, or at least the Battle Royale genre, was missing. So
I don't know. It's sad to see. Granted, what are these other properties I was looking forward to that Activision holds?
Spyro.
I don't freaking know. Spyro. I mean, Toys for Bob has been kind of like a darling recently, with just some really excellent remakes and then this sequel. So it's a little bit sad to, we don't, who the heck knows what's really going to happen, right? Maybe they'll be given creative, a creative project in the future instead of supporting. I think it's even just adding bodies to helping with a project. But you know, this is all the brainchild of Bobby Kotick or whatever his name is, right? Mr. $200 million bonus. This is what he deserves it for.
Yeah.
It's hard to say sarcastically when they keep getting record profits every year.
Yeah. There was something in here where it talked about basically kind of the 20-year growth of Activision under Bobby Kotick, and they went, again, somewhere in the low double, you know, the tens of millions to a $1 billion company. So
yeah,
he did what he was doing. Oh yeah, here it is. Market capitalization has increased from less than $10 million to over $70 billion under his leadership. So it's kind of hard to argue with the results. He is not a great person.
Just... right.
But like, those bonuses were also on the backs of layoffs.
Yeah. The news story that did come out this week is basically Bobby Kotick very generously decided he was going to cut his salary and bonus by 50% this year. I think this is just him trying to. Activision, I think, had a kind of a light quarter in terms of, you know, they're getting their legs up on Warzone, but I think in terms of Blizzard and other properties, they're a little behind where they wanted to be. So I think he cut his salary and bonus just to appease shareholders.
Yeah.
I think the pitchforks were already raised even with the shareholders. So
it's very funny to when you read those stats and they say, like, you know, their official reason is to put him more in line with other
CEOs,
similar CEOs, and then he's at like technically the bottom 25%.
Yeah.
And then his bonuses would kick him up to a median, and you're like, huh?
Yeah, okay. They grounded him by making him low to mediocre or median in terms of compensation. Which,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, part of that also, right? He's been there for so long. He's I think one of the longest serving CEOs in terms of, you know, current Fortune 500 companies. So
growing up as a kid, I always wondered why people didn't like him, and then as an adult I understood. Like, that's how long Bobby Kotick has been around, like, you know, just like, huh,
he's been a villain the whole time.
He has been. But even some of, like, the early, like, internet sketches of video games, you could see old Bobby Kotick, like, hate videos.
Well, Blizzard people hated him.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Everything wrong with, like, WoW was Bobby Kotick's fault.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, or at the very least, that's who we'll blame every time. Because remember, like we talked about before, right? When you start hating on Blizzard, everyone will always say, you know, Activision's doing it, right? But then, you know, it's also been many years since that merge, so
they're basically the same company.
Yeah. It's the same, yeah.
Well, you know, it's not the same.
I want to know.
Housemarque's new game, Returnal, which came out last week.
That's true.
I played it. Andy, did you play it?
Yeah. It is, it sent me into like an existential crisis.
Well, so I want to be clear. It has a very cool story. Let's not spoil that. I haven't beaten the game yet. Andy, have you?
Not even close.
Okay. I've made it to the second biome.
I'm still a failure stuck on the first one.
You'll get there, buddy.
Will I, James?
Maybe. But anyway, so, I think we talked about this a little bit, but Returnal is a third-person roguelike game where you traverse through kind of this randomized, but not too randomized. Basically, there are rooms, but the order of those rooms is random through each map, and you kind of have to figure out this mystery of why you keep dying and coming back while gaining, you know, new upgrades in terms of your experience with weapons, which unlocks new skills with those weapons, but also permanent upgrades, which are like swords and a grappling hook and all sorts of stuff like that. So it's kind of this fun, and it's got a weird like sci-fi horror feeling to it, right? The game feels kind of scary, but at the same time, the gameplay is just really fun. It encourages dashing, dodging, and a lot of bullet hell jumping around. It encourages you to kind of push forward and not get hit, because there's an adrenaline mechanic where the longer you go without getting hit, the more damage you do, the more currency you get. It's just well executed in every way, especially the DualSense, which I was shocked by. What did you think of the DualSense parts of it?
I thought it was wonderful, or at least in the ways I've experienced it incorporated. It's really been a great way to show off the PS5, right? And really you might be able to call it a creative statement, or at least trying to, I don't know, enforce. What I mean to say is that it takes the spirit of the roguelike and takes it seriously, right? And I think to its detriment, but there truly is, if you die, you restart. You're done. You're at the beginning of the game. And there's no save option, and that's kind of dumb, which I have a big problem with.
Actually, Andy, have you like put your game into rest mode while you're in the middle of a run?
Yes.
Yeah.
But my PS5 crashes sometimes in rest.
That's weird, but I don't know about that. But I've actually had it where I can put the game into rest mode come back and pick up exactly where I left off in the middle of a run, which I'm like, that's fantastic.
Yeah, no, I have that weird bug. It has, I think it has something to do with HDMI link or something, where the PS5 will crash in rest mode. But also, because I play the disc version, I can't put in a new disc. I can't play another game.
Wait,
like this locks you into it.
Did you buy the disc version of this game?
Yeah, I want it on disc. I want to see it on my shelf.
You're so weird. I have not bought physical media.
I buy everything physical if I can. Ugh. And I wanted to own this physical, but literally I cannot switch games. I cannot put in a movie. I can't alter what's in the physical drive or it will kick me out of this game. I don't know. I have a lot of feelings about this game. I don't know where I am yet with it, but it's like this giant reminder that I'm bad at games. And that's all that goes through my head as I'm playing it. And what's interesting is that it's fun. It's kept me motivated. But when you invest an hour and then you lose it all, right? And then I hear everyone else has made it to the second biome or whatever. Like, I'm on hour 8 and I still can't get there. It's like, what am I doing? What am I doing with my time? What am I doing with my life?
Maybe Andy will have to do like a little stream where we can do kind of a Returnal workshop where we...
Returnal, yes!
Where we try to help you figure out what you're doing wrong. Charles, have you had a chance to play it yet?
No. I downloaded it last week over the weekend and then finished Outriders.
Okay.
But I think I agree, by the way, James. We used to do that thing, like, remember when we were in Bloodborne and we'd watch each other's playthrough when we needed tips on a boss?
Yeah.
See, like, as a group, that was like 3 or 4 of us all watching each other. But that's it. Something like that would be funny, especially now that we could capture each other's gameplay footage.
With the power of the PS5, it's easier than ever.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to try it out. I did hear the game is supposed to be hard, and there's a lot of people. You know, you're not alone, Andy. A lot of people apparently are finding this... the barrier to get into the second biome too hard.
There's nothing wrong with a hard game,
right?
It's just the time commitment to get good enough and then to lose it. It's just it's just depressing.
Andy, have you played a lot of bullet hell games, or is that not really your jam?
Bullet hell, no, not really.
I feel like that's maybe part of it, because I'm by no means like a bullet hell guy, but you know, R-Type was always like, you know, is a fun game for me. And was it Enter the Gungeon, right? Has a lot
that
of
was
bullet
a great game.
Yeah, that has a lot of bullet hell in it too. So, you know,
I have no problem with the bullet hell. I'm so stuck on this. It almost feels like a disrespect of like the time I put in and the loss of progress. I just can't get over it.
That's roguelites though, Andy.
But is it?
Yes.
Should I put in an hour and lose it?
Yes.
Yeah,
but Andy, what you're gaining is ephemeral, right? You're gaining skill.
Am I?
We'll find out. That might be the problem.
It's not for me. It's just, I'm so bad at games.
I've seen that discussion. I think kind of funny brought this up too. But like, they're talking about how, you know, Returnal needs some sort of save function. My personal opinion is I understand there's very real reasons why you can't just complete a run in one set. Mm-hmm. You
know, yeah.
If, you know, and to that, I'd say you should be able to save, but have the save automatically delete when you die.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
I think that's reasonable.
Well, like I was saying, for me, I can kind of do that because I just put it in rest mode and walk away. But
right.
Andy doesn't Not seem to have that luxury.
Mine crashes. Yeah. Also, the PS5 could update and restart. The game could update.
That's true.
Yeah.
I
and
could
that's
have
one of the things
power outage. and it's I don't understand. I feel like it's beautiful on paper, right? So bold, right?
I don't think power outages affect quick resume.
Oh, really? I thought it keeps it in RAM.
No, I think it saves an actual state to the SSD.
Sure. Well, hey, I'm wrong there, but I don't know. It's been on my mind so much, just how far behind I am and how bad I am, but how I'm still having fun, right? And it's like, what do I do? What am I doing?
Well, go ahead, Charles.
Go ahead, James. No, go ahead.
All right. Well, I was gonna say, to pivot away from Andy's rant about how he's bad at video games. The things I think that are specifically interesting, Returnal, especially when you look for it, Charles, is they play with the haptics in the game. Like, if you've seen the trailers, and I'm playing like a gameplay video right now, there's a lot of rain in this game. I don't understand how they're using the motors to simulate this, but it feels like individual drops of rain going on different parts of the controller. It uses half squeezes on the trigger, so like you squeeze in a little bit to get aim down sights, and then if you squeeze all the way, you get the alt fire on your weapon. Like it's basically adding a second button through using the haptics, and it's the most PS5 PS5 game I've played.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I did hear a lot of discussion about that. Like, that the rain feel on the DualSense is incredible. And I was like, so I'm very excited to try this out and see what's going on. Because honestly, I wasn't originally going to buy it.
Yeah, me either.
And people were saying that this game makes use of the DualSense the best for out of anything right now. And I was like, okay, that's good enough for me, because I do want to see what some of these more possibilities of DualSense.
Yep.
Which is good.
And then in classic counter-programming style, Pokemon Snap also came out this week, and I'm assuming none of us have played it, right?
No.
But has anybody watched streams of it? Because I have. I've watched a pretty good amount of streams on it.
Yeah, I do too.
How does it look?
It looks fun. And Andy, I'm going to be very clear with you. If you find Pokemon cute at all, this is the game for you, because holy fuck, every moment of this game is Pokemon just being the most adorable I've ever seen them.
Sounds like a good game.
Yeah, it is. I think people have said it takes 15 hours, give or take.
That's a decent amount of game.
Yeah, 30 if you want to go to the completionist route and do absolutely everything, but 15 just to kind of get through the gameplay. There's maps have different. Each map kind of has like a day and a night, I think, and then and different things happen as you level up. Like you'll experience like different Pokemon will do different things depending if you have different levels, and you throw things, you get different camera abilities. It's relaxing. I mean, I've actually enjoyed watching streams of it, and I've enjoyed seeing people's reaction to what Pokemon are doing during it.
Aw, that's great. They didn't need to make this game.
No. Right? Andy, look at this pic. Look. Are you looking at the stream?
Oh, that's
look.
So cute.
Yeah,
that's
look at those. So cute. They're best friends, that's, Andy. Pichu and Grookey are best friends.
They're best friends. And you captured that forever.
Yeah. Charles, what did you think when you were watching streams?
I thought it was great. Overall, I was just like, this is, yeah, it's exactly what I wanted. Like in a new Pokemon Snap, right?
Yeah.
Like, I find nothing wrong with what the game is. It's what I wanted if I was going to play another Pokemon. I liked it as a kid. I want a chance to be able to play it now. The only thing that's keeping me from playing it is I want to play Returnal.
Yeah, I know. It's too many games. There's too many games to play. Next week, Village.
Resident Evil 8.
Yeah.
And then also very soon after that, Mass Effect Legends, which is going to be my favorite thing to do.
I don't know where I'm going to fall on that. I think I'll let that one stew, I think. Maybe come back to that later, just because I've played Mass Effect. I have new games I need to play, kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, that's the reason why I'm excited for that, is that, you know, again, I'm not a horror game player. So like, I'm excited for Resident Evil 8 to watch other people.
Yeah, we may end up doing a stream for that. We'll plan that this week. Watch your Twitter notifications, and you may see it pop up. Not Twitter notifications, Twitch notifications, because I am not using Twitter yet. We'll wait till episode 10, which is fast approaching, actually.
Before
I start caring about Twitch or Twitter. Andy, look at them; they're best friends.
Problematic takes on everything.
Look at them.
Oh, they're playing.
Also, this is like the best looking Pokemon game I've ever seen.
It's excellent. It looks, the graphics are excellent.
Yeah. Why is every Pokemon game Game Freak makes looks like shit, but every Pokemon game someone else makes looks fantastic? Look at those cute fucking Bidoofs. Look at them.
This is really cute.
Yeah.
This just seems like a nice way to relax.
It really, I mean, even just watching streams is, if it is relaxing. I think too, just that there's a lot of like, you take the pictures and, you know, Professor Mirror, which is the dumbest fucking name. he like grades you, like, wait, and you know,
that's,
it's like
not a tree, is it?
There's magic. There's Magikarp struggling to live. You know.
Oh, Magikarp.
No, if Returnal is a tense game that challenges you in every moment, Pokemon Snap is a relaxing blanket wrapped around you, and you just like.
Nice.
And I mean, it's like an amusement park ride. You're on tracks. You're just kind of going around. Yeah, it's like if Disney built a Pokemon Land, which, man.
Yeah, literally.
Awesome. Yeah.
And your job is to just enjoy.
Yep.
Would I be bad at this game?
Probably.
Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely. And one last piece of late breaking news this week.
Ooh.
If I still set up the Stream Deck that I bought like a month ago, I could probably pay taps right now. But three of the four five founding members of Giant Bomb are leaving. I gotta bring up the doc because I don't know their names because I don't look at Giant Bomb. I'm bad. I don't know, Giant Bomb never really clicked at me, but
no, I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, Giant, oh my god,
I mean, we knew it existed, and I have friends that love Giant Bomb.
It's
sad to hear though.
Yeah, three of them are leaving effective Friday. Jeff Gerstmann is the only one that's staying, basically, if you would want to have that kind of narrowed down for you. The other three are leaving. It does seem interesting. I saw some hot takes where they were acquired by, what is it, Venture Media or something like that, just about 6 months ago, which key personnel retainer contracts, when you get acquired by a large company, generally speaking, 6 months to a year. So it does very much sound like... they got acquired and they did their 6 months and now they're the hell out of here.
Wow.
Yep.
Isn't that interesting, right? You buy something out because it's successful, and then the buyout ruins it.
Yeah.
Yeah. My money is on James being the one that stays. five, 10 years down the line, you know, we'll
again, I am a corporate apologist, capital shill. There is nothing I won't do for money. Dance, monkey, dance.
Money is nice.
Yeah.
Bills do need to be paid.
Listen, I know what it's like to not have money, and I don't want to feel that way ever again.
We don't need to go back.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Hot dogs and rice, hot dog and rice dinners get real old after a while.
I feel it.
So
let's sell out.
Exactly. Oh. But that'll be another episode of Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a news show.
Where we sell out?
Yeah, that'll be a different episode.
We'll point to this one some other, you know, once we get there.
Yeah.
We're not above it.
You know, hello, future self. Boy, that product or service looks good on you.
Yeah. Well, I've been very clear that this whole podcast is a scam for me to get free Brooklyn and Cheats. Have you seen how expensive they
are? I was literally just going to say that. I've been wanting new pillowcases, and I was looking out there for new pillowcases.
Expensive, but not if you. So but not if you use our code Add to Party.
That's true. Add to Party. brooklinen.com.
click the mic button to get your Omaha steak package. Please. Anybody, I'll do anything. What's the berries one?
There's a berries one?
The strawberry place. Oh, what was it?
Well, I haven't heard that.
Oh, I can't remember. Because they always do it around Mother's Day, where you send chocolate dip strawberries to your mother.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, yeah. By the way, this is your warning. It's Mother's Day this weekend, if you had forgotten.
Oh, I had.
Yep.
Well, good. Let's get those negotiations going now. I just need pillowcases, and I'll do a shout out. That's all I need.
Well, I have been your host, James Hartwell, and I have been joined by
Charles, color commentary, and I was joined by
Andy K, and
sponsored by Totino's.
Play Returnal. There we go, Totino's. Well, I need some pillowcases, so
have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.